Looks like we're about 45 minutes to out from the end of the meeting. So I guess our next item is the station reports. Basically, I wanted to get a feel on how we're getting access. PK already talked about the visit where she and I went to the station. It was a little bit problematic. The GM wouldn't join our meeting. So there's kind of the usual politics sometimes, and if I thought this would be an opportunity for us to, one, report whatever difficulties we're having and see what possible solutions we could come up with collectively. So anywho, since PK already gave the report for KPFT, which see, Ken or Mansoor, would you like to talk about KPFA or KPFK?
That would be Ken.
Go ahead, Ken.
Okay. Yeah, regarding KPFK, I submitted to the chair of this committee the last version of our budget, which was validated up through December. And we didn't have any January, February, or March, I think, whatever I sent. It was either January or December. But we're on budget. In fact, we're ahead of budget. In other words, we have more income than we budgeted and less expenses than we budgeted. We haven't done any work on fiscal year 2019. That's about what I have to say, and I can't, I did some analysis on the February fund drive, which came in near what was expected. And, you know, Mansoor will validate that, but, that's all I have to report. I think, in other words, KPFK is doing okay.
All right, thank you, Ken.
I got a Hawaii one.
Let me go back to KPFA with Chris Corey.
Sorry, I was having trouble with my mute. What were you asking me?
Just kind of what is your general status and being able to get started on your budgeting process here and interfacing with the station?
Okay, well, I'm no longer treasurer of that station, but so I really haven't been keeping up with budgetary matters.
Okay, we can wait. Why don't we go ahead and go to WBAI? Who would like to speak for WBAI?
Yeah, hold on a second. I'm having a crash here that I'm having to deal with. So one second.
Do you want me to go ahead and skip to WPFW while you're taking care of that, Arpal?
Yeah, that would probably work.
All right, well, so if someone would like to speak for WPFW.
Yeah, this is Tony. I can speak for Nick. Of course, he can speak more in detail. He probably will the next meeting. Nick sent an email yesterday, I believe, and it talked about the status of WPFW and the 2018 budget. And what he said is that although we have not received the financial statements from the national office this fiscal year and don't have a business manager, we're tracking our own performance to budget as best as we can. We are ahead of our revenue projections. We are on pace with total expenses as best as we can. We are current with all payables except for central services, where we made two payments towards our balance in March. To my knowledge, we have not begun the process yet for the FY19 budget. That's it.
Tony. Okay, we're back to WBAI. Would someone care to speak for WBAI?
Okay, I have a spreadsheet, and I'm AWOL. All right. Yeah, I can say a few things. WBAI... The WBAI budget for FY18 is the CFO declared that he was doing it. The local finance committee had met a little bit with the WBAI general manager months ago, and he offered three different versions of the budget. The main thing, well, one of the main things in the WBAI budgets is what will our daily tally be for the marathons? And the thing that happens there is that we've had a lot of presentations that have been, you know, too high, overly optimistic. And so this time the general manager gave us three different projections on that, and the committee looked at one that said we would raise about a tally of about $9,500 a day, and we would, you know, that would be the tally. And we said, well, that looks more realistic. And we were going to work on that further, and then the general manager didn't show up for some meetings, and then the CFO said, no, BAI isn't producing its own budget, the national office is. And so far, all we've gotten has been a cash flow projection from the CFO. The cash flow projection, I'm not sure about how effective that is. But we have not gotten a budget proposal from the chief financial officer. For the year, in terms of raising revenue, WBAI is behind. And you can the last thing the CFO sent out, the last profit and loss statement, you can see BAI is in the red, seriously. And, you know, so there's that. Now, one thing we have to look at, though, is that for the future, WBAI may start looking better because the CFO has been putting in the full amount of the Empire State rent. And I am told that by June or July or somewhere in there, WBAI's rent will be significantly lower, about 80% lower than it had been. So that will affect things. I will note, however, that the $12,000 a month we'll be paying wasn't even paid to Empire at various times throughout previous months there. So, you know, it's not like $12,000 is going to be something BAI will very easily get through. So basically, in terms of our budget, it's apparently up to the CFO and the national office. What the general manager gave us, that $9,500 a day budget, was never completed and was also only on paper. I have no electronic version of it. And I guess that's pretty much what we can say about budgets for BAI at this moment.
All right. Thank you, R. Paul. I believe that covers all the stations at this point, and that completes this item. And the next item is a general discussion of the basically the Pacific loans, the SRT settlement, and whatnot. And I'd like to start that just because you happened to mention, R. Paul, in the manager of BAI, and consulted him on the to Times Square and the reduction in cost, and he was, suffice to say, very pleased with the change, that it was going to be a no ill effect on transmission, and yet a vastly reduced cost. As far as mechanisms to pay these things, well, we're still a radio network, and we're still doing all the things we normally do, and of course the PNB is working on with strategic planning and various other groups. Means to make budget adjustments. But it is vitally important that now that the money that we owed ESRT has now been shifted into a loan, so we still owe the same amount of money. We our debt really hasn't increased as much as a change in how we're going to have to pay it off. We do need to start seriously looking at our finances and our stations and realizing that we're going to have to start performing considerably better than we have been in the past. There's been kind of an ideal of minimal performance, and I think our performance is going to have to increase, and it should have a long time ago. The fact that it's been allowed to languish for all this time is reprehensible and irresponsible, and we have to do better. So that's where I will start the conversation, and who would like to go next?
Paul?
Tony on the back.
Okay, I have R. Paul, then Tony. Okay, R. Paul, Tony, then
Major Tom.
I don't think Major Tom should get to speak.
But he sings well.
Yeah. I would like to be on Stack too, but I'm not a good singer at all. Actually, I'm horrible. So Major Tom can go before me.
Somebody can mute Major Tom. Or Paul talk.
I asked before.
PK?
Yes.
Sure, go ahead. You haven't been talking much. Why don't you start us off?
Okay. Thank you very much. Again, I just wanted to kind of reiterate what I was saying as part of KPFT, but also understanding that we're sibling stations. And added to that, someone else mentioned the affiliates as well. And a lot of times, and I almost stopped reading the emails that go back and forth. You know, we kind of make WBAI the identified patient. You know, that they're the ones with the biggest problem and call us the biggest problem to the foundation. I think we've crisscrossed across the continent, really, to affect each other and support each other sometimes and, you know, work against each other otherwise. But I think that, as, again, from a financial perspective, we have to look at the value of things, the value of having a loan that, you know, gives us more time so that now we can concentrate on what it takes to really raise the money and bring us up to strength in our individual stations as well. And part of that is valuing the people who are wearing more than one hat and finding a way to look at what each station really needs to succeed. And those stations work on those plans in concert with development and not against, you know, what I hear financially sometimes when you start talking about what it takes to save, you know, that we need a more marketing consciousness, for instance. I get we can't afford that. But in reality, we can't afford not to do some of this stuff. There have to be ways to get that value in each of them, and I think that financially we need to look at each other, not who has the most debt and who has the most to lose, but again, financially, how we can be cross-pollinated to do the work where we all survive.
Thank you, PK. R. Paul?
Okay. All right. I think that.
Okay.
I've got a lot of noise. I think that we really should have had more input.
Noise in the background. Please put your phone on mute. That's making it difficult for us to have a discussion. Okay, R. Paul, go ahead.
Okay. I think that. I have a problem with the fact that the PNB is doing a whole lot of financial stuff without sending anything to the NFC. The NFC is supposed to be the finance committee, and it isn't just about budgets. The NFC is supposed to be advising the PNB on financial matters of all sorts. This is a policy. There was a motion passed years ago by the PNB saying that any kind of thing, anything financial above a certain level, and it wasn't a high level, needs to be run by the NFC first for advice, at least. And the NFC is then supposed to report to the PNB. And this has happened a number of times in the past. Finding the exact motion the PNB passed is proving difficult because getting through the minutes of the PNB is rather difficult since you can't grep anything and everything's in PDF and it's more about it looking colorful than about being able to find anything using a machine. So it's very slow going. Eventually, I'm sure I will find that exact motion. But I think that the PNB is in violation of its own policy by not having brought a lot of these issues to the NFC. I know that things have been signed, that's it, okay, but I think that stuff should have been presented to the NFC, you know, at least at some stage during it, so we could have taken a look at this. So there's that. I will eventually find that motion and post it. The other thing is, we need to understand that the cash flow of the Pacifica Foundation cannot handle this loan. And that's an absolute statement. I don't think anybody can disagree with that. If you look at the losses, if you look at the audit, the cash flow of the foundation is not going to be able to handle the interest payments and then the balloon at the end. Years ago, around 10 years ago, there was a motion in Pacifica to get a $1 million loan. And the $1 million loan was going to be based on the KPFK real estate. And there was a lot of fighting about it. And at that time, we had a thing where we would be paying the interest for a few years, and it would be like, only like $8,000 or $9,000 a month. And that was going to be straining things. And then at the end of that time, in about 2012, we were supposed to have a balloon payment of over $800,000. People would only discuss the $8,000 a month that we would have to pay. Nobody wanted to address putting $800,000 on the line at any time. So I was against that one. And this one here, I haven't seen details, except that I know something about it, some information has come out about how much it is and how long the loan is for and how long it's we don't have to pay interest for. But the deal is, my understanding is, it's going to be tens of thousands of dollars a month, and then it's going to be at some point in the future, like, give us $3 million right on the line. And so it's going to require some really extraordinary things that people are going to come up with, and I'm very concerned about that. Are people going to be able to come up with that? I've been in Pacifica for a while, and I will be very pleasantly surprised, but surprised if somebody comes up with a great plan that's really going to do this. And that's what I have to say.
All right, thank you, R. Paul. Next is Tony Leon.
Well, I think one of the great plans that is going to be necessary because we, all five stations, are located in very heavily populated cities. And we, I believe, with the programming we have and the possible changes in programming in the future, we have the potential to bring in a lot of money, enough money to pay off this loan with not a problem, but we won't be able to do it unless we set aside a nice budget for advertising. Because if no one knows that we are there, then we will not be able to get the cash that we need. And as long as I have been involved with the station, my station, I'm not sure about the others, but we have not addressed the attrition of listenership throughout the years. And this attrition happens for a variety of reasons I'm not going to get into, but it happens. You know, it happens to all businesses. And I just have not seen anybody take a serious actions to address this. So, you know, I'm going to be pushing for advertising because I've seen it work and I know it works. That's why these commercials on TV and radio cost so much, because it works. So hopefully that will be one of our strategies to get us in the black and out of the red. Thank you.
Ken, you have the floor. Ken, are you on the line? Ken Aaron.
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Hello? Yeah, it's a little bit windy. Sorry about that. I disagree with half of what people are saying. We're not going to be able to operate on a poverty basis anymore. Not in this world at this time. We don't get government subsidies like Scandinavian countries or the BBC. We live in a capitalist corporate world in America. This isn't a handout place. We're going to have to come up to the mark with programming that the public is interested in this vast quantity of people.
Ken, stop. Ken, we cannot hear you.
I want to be stopped. Oh, you can't.
No, we cannot hear you. It's too windy. We
All
cannot
right.
hear you.
Let me.
There we go.
Right, let me try this. Hold. Can you hear me better now? Is that better?
Yeah, stay where you are and just talk normal.
Okay, let me just talk normal. We have to come up to the mark and improve what we deliver so that it's what the public, the broad public, wants to listen to, not just a small group of the population that's co-training with us, but to increase our scope and range of audience so that our listenership increases and we have enough money to function properly to produce, to come up on the market. There's a lot of competition on the internet, on other radio stations and TV and the movies, etc. If you want people's attention and support, you have to deliver something you're interested in receiving. That's what has to happen at the core of everything. No amount of financial adjustment is going to fix that. We have to be more popular. That's the way.
Ken?
Hunter would like to speak as well.
Okay,
Chris
well,
Corey for the
there,
sack.
Anyone else would like to talk?
Los Angeles. This is Bangor.
Mansoor and Chris mentioned.
Okay, then let's go with Mansoor and then Chris.
Oh, ahead, thank Chris. You, Chair. Okay, I'll be very brief. I just it appears that most of us have the same ideas and want to move forward, and we want Pacifica to flourish. And in order to do that, we just have to face the desired changes that we have to implement. And that's really what it takes. It might hurt one of us. It might hurt a friend of us who's a host. It might hurt a show that we like. But if we really want to get ahead of this loan, pay it off, and be, as I think was it Tony said, that we want to be in black financially, changes, it's a must. And it might, again, hurt us. But the changes are, and changes have to be. And the way to start, and the one specific one, is changing in programmings. And that's because that's our product, and that's our delivery. And if you have a rotten apple in your display window, nobody's going to come to buy any apples or any fruit from you inside of your store. So what we got to present is better programming to the needs of community, in order to bounce back up. And if we do that, we don't need a whole lot of anything else, in a sense, but those who are listening to us will get the word out. But I just want to agree with all of you who have the same sentiment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mansoor. Chris, go ahead.
I just wanted to throw in my lot with R. Paul. I think that you know, the enterprise as a whole has been at best in a good year, it's been just maintaining revenue. Most of the last 5 to 10 years, it's been declining in revenue. It's been declining in listenership. We either need radical changes in ideas or radical changes in programming or something or both. But more than that, unless this entity can grow revenues 20 or 30% over the next 36 months, we're not going to have enough money put away to pay off the balloon payment. And that is just the facts. And I don't, you know, I don't see any, you know, I hear a lot of nice words about how to do that, but I don't see business plans. I don't see objectives. I don't see targets. I don't see, you know, I don't see any way to judge progress. You know, if we could break even the first year, that would be a good target. That'd be great. That'd be really, you know, that'd be a nice realistic target, and make maybe 10% margin the second year. That would be good. Completing the audits would generate $1 million a year in revenue. There's a lot of things that could be done that would be positive steps, but I hear a lot of talk. I don't hear any standards of how to do it. And candidly, looking back through the history of KPFA and through the history of Pacifica, the stations say the same stuff all the time. We need to improve programming to improve listenership, and it just keeps not happening. So I think we need to be realistic with ourselves and develop realistic targets, stick to them, and have a fallback plan if those realistic targets are not met. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Let me take this opportunity to add some comments from me and KPFT. And we've been doing a lot of blame game throughout the network. I mean, PK mentioned this earlier, how a lot of people like to blame WBAI for almost every problem we have. But the truth is, we at KPFT had a manager for many, many years who was basically selected because there was a programmer that people liked. And we chose him not on the skills of management, but because of his popularity. And we make a lot of bad business decisions when it comes to how we look at performance. Evaluations are a rarity. But the truth is, when we hire employees, whether they be the CFO, the ED, general managers, program directors, staff at the stations, these people need to be treated with respect, but as employees. These are people we're paying to come here and do work for us. One of the things that I saw recently that came out of a suggestion from someone in strategic planning was, so we need to hire someone to be a development director at a station. Problem is, I've seen this happen many times. We hire someone to do a specific job, increase membership, get major donations, what have you. But then there's no proper management for them. They're not given good direction. They're not given resources to do their job. And then the management doesn't evaluate them, because they don't want to realize that it was our own fault for not helping the employee succeed. Then a couple of years goes by, and we're still paying someone for a task that, unfortunately, they may not even be able to complete themselves. And then we come up with a new idea. Well, let's hire someone to increase our membership. And we keep going through the cycle of inability to function as a business. And it's we have to give this up. We have to understand that when we hire people to be managers and directors of this foundation, the executive director or the general manager of the station, they have to be competent at the bottom line. Because there's no reason why, given what we have, given these 5 radio licenses and given this market, that we shouldn't be in the black, and very much in the black. We should be adding stations to this network, not drowning in debt. It's the fact that the PNB for the last 10 years has failed, and the stations have failed to do the proper valuations and to provide proper mechanisms to get things going. And this is our reality check. We have to change. We were faced with this settlement that when we paid off ESRT, you know, we owed these people a lot of money, and that wasn't going to go away. And irrespective of now, we bought ourselves a little time, but we need to use this time to change our practices, and we need to go home to our stations. And we're not going to be talking about what someone else is doing at some other station. We need to talk about at our station what we're doing, and we have to do better. And if we don't, then we're failing at each of our stations. And it don't point the finger anywhere else anymore. It's our responsibility. So we're either we, and it doesn't matter. You know, we can talk about whether the changes. We do need to do marketing because marketing got zeroed out. We do need to improve our programming because right now programming has been left to languish. There's a great many things that we need to do, but we cannot let the perfect stand in the way of the good. There's a lot of people when I hear on the PNB and they say, well, this is exactly what we should do to solve all our problems. There's no one solution, and there's no one perfect thing, little pill that we're going to take that's going to solve this foundation's ails. It's we're going to have to start doing basic, fundamentally sound business practices, and it's not going to be fun, but it's what we have to do to survive. And I will shut my mouth now and let other people speak, but I appreciate that everybody here is concerned, and you are all fully, rightly concerned. And let's hope that we can turn that into action, because we have to. Thank you. Who would like
to speak? Hear you. I hear you, Mansoor. I want to double down on what you said, and I wholeheartedly agree with you that it's not one thing that we need to do, so we shall. Everybody knows the dire situation that we're in, but at the same time, it's an opportunity that we got for next few years to rebuild, rebrand, and rebirth foundation, which is much needed, not on a local level or national level, but still on the international level. There are people who are listening to Pacifica overseas, and they rely on us. And I would like to deliver that. Thank you.
All right. Who else would like to speak?
Yeah, Tony.
Go ahead.
Real quick, I also agree with most of what you said. And the PNB does have to break this traditional curse that it has maintained through the years and begin to operate as a business, period. That's it. Bottom line, regardless of hurt feelings and anything else that comes with it, this is not personal. This is, as they say, this is business. This is, and we're in a serious situation now. Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like the floor?
Our Paul will say a thing?
Our Paul, please.
Yeah. Well, it sounds good. It sounds like a lot of us are of the opinion that, yeah, things absolutely need to change. I think the last meeting I made some long speech about, businesses and how you have to change things if you ain't selling your product, and our product is the air, and we do have to understand that, of course, it there will be resistance because of the way everything is. Any change in programming will produce some sort of resistance, and the more the change is, the bigger resistance will be, and you'll have things being disrupted and stuff like that. BAI has had various times people doing things. It was actually a takeover of the station at some point, and then at another point a near takeover of the station and stuff like that. And the thing is, we would have to see who would look at that. Now, who can stand up and do it? Who has the backbone to say, we got to change this and we're changing it, and then stand there and withstand the backlash? The other thing is this. We've talked about change in Pacifica for a long time. And the general consensus I've gotten is that to really affect change in a radio station, to get a lot more audience, it takes time. It isn't like, okay, we've got a great program, we'll plug it in right here, and immediately you make super-duper amounts of money, and it saves you. That it doesn't work that way. You can have a program and it can make a good amount of money, but it's not necessarily going to cover the whole station. You've got to do it throughout the entire broadcast day and night. And so it isn't easy. The timeline I've generally seen is takes about 2 years to turn around. And that's that's on stations that don't have, you know, people running up and taking over the station and denouncing everybody and all of that stuff. So it's a very hard row to hoe. I have not seen the actual plan to pay back, if there is one yet, and I haven't seen a plan B, and I very much want to see that because I am kind of nervous about that, given the traditions of Pacifica. And so that's what I have to say right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Art Paul. And by the way, you said something interesting that caught my attention. Who will do it? Well, I can tell you who's going to do it. It's going to be all of us. Because if we keep thinking somebody's going to run in here with on a horse or something and save us, that's not going to happen. Hiring a new ED is not going to save us. Hiring a new CFO is not going to save us. Those are just individuals. And actually, R. Paul, you mentioned at the last NFC meeting that you were a little concerned that we're not going to meet often enough because we've got a lot of work to do. That's a very, very good point because we do have a lot of work to do, and we're going to have to do our share, and we're probably going to have to be out at our stations assuming even more responsibilities. So I agree with you 100%. And when it comes to who's going to do it, let's start looking at each other. And I'll try to shut up. Who would like to speak next? Okay, we are down to 10:23 Eastern. So we're about 7 minutes out of the end of the meeting. We're up to scheduling the next meeting. We already, I believe R. Paul's already scheduled the next monthly meeting. R. Paul, would you like to address that for a moment?
Yeah, the next meeting that we have already scheduled is for May 9th. We have May 9th that is the next meeting we scheduled because we said we will do it the second Tuesday of each month. So May 9th is currently there. And I think we're all open if somebody has something that they can, you know. Oh, I've talked about that already. So May 9th it is what we have.
That's
right
wind.
Now. No, 8th. May 8th, I'm sorry. It's May 8th that we have right now.
Now, it's Ken to the stack.
Ken, go ahead.
I might have been knocked off. If somebody gave me a brief summary on this SPO report to the NFC.
Okay, the review of that is actually very easy. He didn't respond to any of the requests that I had for information. So that's the report.
Thank you.
Okay, R. Paul, did you... the question I want to ask you is, do you see at this point a reason that we should meet before May 8th, or are we just going to go ahead and be satisfied with the next meeting being on May 8th?
Well, no, okay, let me say, I know that everybody doesn't like to, you know, have to schedule things and then maybe knock them off, and it's annoying because you can't plan your life that well, but... my concern is to have the opportunity there when something shows up. The CFO is not here, that's a problem. We are not getting information, that's a problem. I don't know if by the 24th, if I were to make a motion that we meet again on the 24th, I don't know if there would be anything to do then. We could make a motion, do it, and then decide we don't want to do it, we can cancel it. That could happen. We could basically on spec try to make a motion to meet on the 24th. I don't want to get people feeling that, I'm not a meeting junkie. I don't want people to feel, oh, geez, you know, we're going to be meeting constantly and our lives will be ended. So I don't want to push something right now because I don't have anything to say on the 24th we'll do X. So I don't know. I sort of want to hear from other people. If other people are okay with that, then, yeah, I would say let's go for adding a meeting on the 24th, which we could cancel if we need to. But I need to hear from other people.
I would like to speak to that. Mansoor.
I'd like to speak to it too.
Okay, Mansoor, and then PK.
Yes, I'll say let's go do it for 24th, and exactly what just our Paul said. If we have nothing to do or say, we just cancel it the day before. It's just very simple. We're just scheduling ahead of time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mansoor. PK?
Well, I just wanted to know, you know, I didn't, things are still kind of up in the air, and we're actually meeting a day after the 24th. So I would have nothing to add unless some things happen to us that we need to address. What I'm hearing actually is making me a little hopeful, even as we know that we have an uphill climb. It sounds like that we're kind of saying the same things that it's going to take for us to do that, and we're kind of talking about some of the same battles because this has happened to us before, and we haven't crossed over to the, you know, to the light. We kind of are hanging in the shadows. But if we, our commitment, being on the PMB's financial, on the national, if we can make it, then we're going to start talking more positively and reaching out across the aisles to really talk about ways in which maybe something I'm doing at KPFT, for instance, would work at the other stations. And maybe there's something that we can collaborate on nationally. That's not the finance committee's, I mean, you know, the finance committee's job to do that, but why not? If we're on it, we know that we've got to count the dollars and the cents. And for the rest of the committees and the rest of the board, they need to get some sense. So maybe we need to figure out a way to represent that with how we work with each other and the way we worked with each other tonight. I just want to say thank you because I can tell you that, you know, I like it when people are working together.
Thank you, PK. Is there an objection to going ahead and scheduling the next meeting for the 24th?
I shall move.
Yeah, William objects. I don't know what so moved was.
Okay. What's your objection, William?
I think managing and scheduling backwards is not what we need to do. I mean, I don't know about the rest of you, but I have a life, and I like to schedule things. I don't want to now say that, oh, I'm going to have a meeting on the 24th, so I better not do anything else. And I'm going to hold that date. And then since there is nothing to do and nobody's going to come up with something for us to do, then on the 23rd it's going to be canceled. And then I could have had some other meeting or some other thing that I need to do on the 24th. But it doesn't make any sense, scheduling backwards and instead of saying, well, when we need to meet, we meet, rather than saying, oh, let's schedule a meeting, we can cancel it. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever, and there are no budgets now, and I assure you that our Paul's been through it, having listened to these meetings for years, I know later in the year we're going to be meeting many times, sometimes two or three times a week probably. So no need for a meeting right now. Thank you.
Thank you, William. By the way, Joe, I was just looking, taking a quick look at the timeline. We have one. And our first deadline is mid-May, and our next meeting is the first week of May. So we are getting close, so it's something we need to keep in mind. Be it that there is an objection, unless there's further discussion, we should probably go ahead and vote on whether we want to schedule a meeting for the 24th and then either have the next meeting on either the 24th or May 8th, depending on how the vote comes out. I don't hear any objections. So, first of all, Well, there is an objection on the floor, so we do need to call the roll. So, Paul, would you go ahead and call the roll for voting for scheduling a meeting for the 24th?
Okay, the motion is to meet on April 24th. Ken Aaron. Demigarwal, Nick Arena, Chris Corey.
Yes.
Joseph Davis.
Pass.
William Heerwagen.
No.
Tony Leon.
Don't say no.
T.K. McCary.
Abstain. I mean, I abstain. It doesn't matter to me.
R. Paul Martin, yes. Mansoor Sabah?
Yes.
Ken Aaron, yes.
Yeah, Ken, we're coming back. Okay. Ken Aaron.
Yes.
Okay, Sam's not here. Nick isn't here. Joseph Davis?
Abstain.
Okay. 4-4, 2 against, 2 abstentions.
Very well. The motion passes. So go ahead and schedule the next National Finance Committee for the 24th, same time. And again, if for any reason nothing significant has come to the fore, maybe we give more than one day notice, a few days notice if we need to cancel. But for sure, we're going to have a meeting on May 8th. And I would like to hope that everybody is out there doing what you can at your stations. I know that you mentioned WBAI. I'll just pick up your manager, see what you can possibly start the process with, since the CFO is not likely to do anything. And I'd like to kind of leave us with the following words to consider for what we're going forward on. And if failure is not an option, it really isn't. We need to save Pacifica, and it's going to be work, so let's not fail.
Thank you.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn and motion to save Pacifica.
Moved. No objections? Hearing no objections, we are adjourned.